From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Frances Alonso reporting. Turkish Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoglu announced his resignation Thursday, paving the way for the country's president to pursue a tighter grip on power. In comment to the nation, Davutoglu said, "I decided that for the unity of the ruling party, a change of chairman would be more appropriate." He's not considering running at the May 22nd Congress. Davutoglu has fallen out with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and announced he was stepping aside after a meeting with executives of the ruling Justice and Development Party, also known as the AKP, which has dominated Turkish politics since 2002. The decision, however, is not effective immediately. The party will hold an emergency convention on May 22nd. In Syria Thursday, two bombs rocked the central village of Mukharram al-Fakani. In initial reports, say at least six people were killed and dozens wounded. It's under government control and lies between Homs and Palmyra. Wednesday, the U.S. and Russia brokered a 48-hour ceasefire over the Syrian city of Aleppo, where fighting there has left nearly 300 civilians dead in the past 2 weeks. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said it applies to all parts of Syria.
We expect all the parties to the cessation of hostilities to fully abide by the renewed cessation in Aleppo. That means the regime and the opposition alike. And we also expect them to live by the cessation throughout the country, pursuant to the terms that were arrived at and agreed upon in Munich in February of this year.
Meanwhile, 64,000 Syrians are stranded at the border with Jordan after that intensified violence around Aleppo, according to Jordanian border guards. VOA News. Bangladesh Supreme Court Thursday rejected an appeal of the death sentence given to the Islamist party leader Mahathir Rahman Nizami for war crimes during the country's 1971 independence struggle. It means he could be hanged at any time in the coming days. Nizami is the head of Bangladesh's largest Islamist party, the Jamaat-e-Islami. He was convicted of genocide, rape, and orchestrating the massacre of top intellectuals. Prosecutor claims he was responsible for setting up Al-Badr, a pro-Pakistani militia which killed top writers, doctors, and journalists at the height of the conflict. Meanwhile, security has already been increased in the Bangladeshi capital of Dhaka. An Australian citizen suspected of being a top recruiter for the Islamic State terrorist group has been killed in a U.S. airstrike in Iraq. The Australian Attorney General George Brandeis told reporters Thursday that the Melbourne native Neil Prakash died in an airstrike in Mosul on April 29th.
We should be gladdened by this news because Prakash was the most dangerous Australian we knew of. We shouldn't be complacent either that this is by no means the end of the struggle against ISIL. It's by no means the case that Prakash was the only dangerous Australian in the Middle East who was trying to reach back to Australia.
Brandeis adds that Prakash was actively involved in recruiting terrorists, appearing in IS propaganda videos, and was linked to a number of terrorist plots in Australia. With the Republican presidential nomination all but clinched, Donald Trump is beginning his search for a running mate to join him in the general election race. Trump is putting together a committee to help him make his vice presidential choice. Trump is likely to face former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the November general election. However, Clinton has not clinched the Democratic nomination. It still has one challenger in that race. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad warned Thursday that the country faces bankruptcy because of an ongoing scandal with the state-owned 1MDB fund. He says he stated in an online article and social media post that the government will have financial deficits, which may lead to bankruptcy if the loans are not serviced and the principal paid. The former prime minister said any defaults by the government-owned company would affect Malaysia's credit worthiness, and the government may not be able to borrow any more in the market. Israel came to a standstill for 2 minutes Thursday. A siren sounded across the country to mark Holocaust Remembrance Day. Daily activities came to a halt in memory of the 6 million Jews murdered during the Second World War's Holocaust. Remembrance ceremonies were held all over Israel. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.